Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
So former GAA All-Star and founder of SOAR, Tony Griffin, is on the line now. Now, he is the author of The Teenager's Book of Life and has advice for anyone listening who is wondering, how the hell am I going to keep my teenager occupied this summer? Tony, very good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jane.
It's great to have you. Now, your book, which is called The Teenager's Book of Life, is a culmination of 10 years of working with teenagers, listening to their worries and fears. And the summer months are, they're a time when they can come to a forefront. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you're right, I was really, really fortunate for 10 years to travel around Ireland and the world listening to teenagers. And sometimes it was just such a privilege all the time, really, because they talk to me in a way, after a while, like, it's hard to talk to teenagers. Any parents out there, I'm a parent to a six-year-old and a one-year-old, but it is difficult because they're great at kind of rebuffing you if they feel that you're judging them. So it took me a while. But once they kind of taught me how to talk to them, they would always talk in a way that blew my mind, you know. And I'd say to them, would you talk like this anywhere else? And they said, no, this is the only, and this might be in the middle of 50, 60 other people in the school that say, I don't talk like this anywhere else. And I'd say, would you talk to your parents like this? And they said, no, never. And I said, why not? And they just wouldn't get it. And I said, well, they were teenagers before, they might just forgot it. But the thing that kept coming up, Jen, through those years was how incredibly wise young people actually are, but how also they just, it's a difficult period of life. Every decade of life is difficult, but the teenage years are particularly so. And you know, I was thinking about this and coming on, so I headed over to a skate park in a town close to where I live, and I just walked up and I said to them, I said, look, I'm going on the Jennifer Zamparelli show, and I want to know what it's like to be you. And they were like, no, you're a guard. No, you're not. And then I said, no, I'm going on her show. And they were saying, well, she's pretty cool, so what do you want to know? So I took out my little notebook.
Thank God they didn't say, who's she?
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks. So what is it like to be a teenager in Ireland these days?
Well, this was the fascinating part, like, because you learn a lot when you just really listen and you kind of come at them, because they're so used to adults trying to either be genuinely helpful or judgmental. So I was saying to them, what's it been like to even go through COVID and all that? And they were saying, at first one guy came over and he was real chatty, and then all his friends started coming over. So I had to put down the pen and I just listened to them for a finish, because, you know, one of them was saying, it was really hard to see my mom go through it. You know, she's a single parent. I saw her crying at night. It was so hard. She was worried about her mom. And then another fella said, you know, for me, it was great. I hate school, so it was perfect. So I could do my thing. And then two of the lads, they were 15, they said, you know, we convinced my dad that we could be in a bubble. So one of the guys, they put a tent in their back garden, and the two lads just hung out for as long as they could, hanging out in the chat in the tent. See, and that's the thing I learned about teenagers. Parents often worry, you know, will they be okay? You know, will they go down the wrong road? The ones they will do the most processing of the last year of things they're going through are their friends. And they said that to me. One of the guys, 17, big guy, said, you know, I've actually started going to counselling since. And all his friends are, have you? And he said, yeah, I just started getting really obsessive about food during the whole lockdown and worried I'd get palm weight. And so that's kind of how they talk to each other. They process things together. And, you know, I wrote the book. When I look back, I have to ask myself, why did I actually in 9 weeks write that book? You know, we had a little baby at home and he'd colic and I'd be up in the middle of the night and I'd be writing. And it was because I'd had this privileged experience, Jen, where I met all these teenagers who would talk about life in a way that I didn't even know teenagers could. But I heard the same things come up and I'd say, oh, I wish I was able to share this with parents, to help parents be able to connect with their teenagers. And, you know,
Tony, what were those things that you'd hear come up over and over again?
A full range. So even as you're saying that, I'm thinking about this one workshop where it was girls' school, and this, you know, I asked the question, what would people know about you if they really knew you? And, you know, one girl kind of quietly put her hand up and she was sitting in the back and her hair was like almost hiding her face. And she said, what the rest of the girls in this class wouldn't know is that my mum isn't able to get out of bed for the last year. So in the morning, I'm the oldest. I get myself up I get her breakfast. My dad has to do extra shifts, so he's gone way earlier. I make my younger sisters their lunch, and then I'm making their breakfast, making them their lunch, and I walk them to school, and then I come in here. And so I could see some of the girls are starting to cry, and they started apologizing to her because they were bullying her. You know, she was coming in, her hair was a bit matted. Mm. You know, they were giving her a hard time. But, you know, it's that. It's the things that they go through. Now, that moved me because I was saying, this young girl is like coming in here, and she's a bit of a hero, and no one knows it. And the class stood up and gave her a round of applause, you know. But you have, death is a big one. That's why one of the chapters in the book I wrote is about death, because for so many teenagers, their granny or granddad is the person they go to, that they feel safest with, closest to, least judged by. And so when they go, they really miss them. I've had so many, like, big rugby, 16-year-old rugby players, coolest kid in the class, break down talking about his granddad or granny that he misses. And they don't want to bring that up with their parents because they think it'll upset their mom or dad.
Yeah.
So there's everything from that to just loneliness. Like, so many young people feel they're the only one thinking the thoughts, going through what they're going through. And that's why SOAR was so powerful, because it allowed them to talk about it when they were with each other. And then they say, I'm not the only one going through this. And that's very liberating. So the reason why friendship is in the book, love, hard times, how to overcome pain, you know, your parents are idiots, but so are you, because we all are, because we're doing our best. And to give parents a bit of a break. It's hard to be a parent to a teenager.
Oh, I'm dreading it. But listen to me, the summer months are upon us now, and boredom and teens can be a dangerous mix. And with limited, I suppose, camps and things going on at the moment, have you any tips on how to keep them occupied? Are you just going to say sport? Is that what you're going to say to me?
No, because like when I was growing up, sport probably gave me a direction, a purpose, but I was also into a lot of other things. One, you know, sometimes when we all see teenagers in crowds, you know, I'm human like everyone else, and I've worked with them for years, and I understand them in a way. You can have a judgment, but they're coming out of a period in their life that it's never been a more important than they have time with their friends. Never. Because that is who they will heal with, who they will talk it through with. So for us, we might look at them on their phone and say, ah, look at them, you know, like, well, I get them busy. But that's not necessarily needed. And I know some parents will worry, but what if? A lot of parents I met, so many amazing parents, their kids were fine. They were going to be okay. But they over-worried and they over-stressed. And that caused even more anxiety. And I'd say to a parent, you know, your kids are wiser than you realize. And I've been lucky to see them in ways where, you know, they're very able, very capable. I'm not an expert, Jen. I just listened to teenagers for 10 years, and I happened to write a book that now people all over the world are reading to learn how to talk to their teenager.
Because we always talk about this being the most difficult period of someone's life, the teenage years. And parents, like I just said there, literally 30 seconds ago, we dread it. And I see friends who go through the transition of having these gorgeous toddlers and children, and then they go into their bedroom and they come out and they're just completely different people when they turn 13. And is it our judgment, or is it our own fears that, you know, is making things worse, really? Instead, we should just really just take a breath and listen and relax a little bit.
Like, it's such a great question, because we love them. Like, I have a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old, and the 6-year-old, I'm trying to understand, okay, what should I say, the right thing, shouldn't I? And so many parents would say to me, I'm so afraid to even talk to them because, you know, I'll either make a mess of it, it'll blow up my face. I'm just not confident that I'm going to be able to have a productive conversation. So when I wrote the book, I didn't expect it to be used as like a map to guide parents and teenagers to talk about life, just life, so that they're usually on different levels. But while they're discussing something in the book, they seem to be on the same level. So a mum emailed me the other day and said, I thought I'd lost my lovely, cuddly, cute 12-year-old boy who used to, you know, climb into the couch beside me, and now he's 13 or 14. I thought I'd lost him. And then we just started talking about something in the book, and it kind of reconnected us. And teenagers are looking for connection, but they'll seek it first with their friends. Now, I'm not saying it's Lord of the Flies and they need to raise each other. Parents do need to step in sometimes and help them if it's extreme or the kid is in a difficult way. But for most parents, I would say relax. They're going to come back to you. They just have to, like one of the primary things for teenagers, social engagement and increased emotional intensity. They get that with their friends. Trust they'll come back to you, like most of us come back to our parents. Take a deep breath and trust that they're wiser than you think they are. And, you know, if you do, yeah, one of the things about Dunstake in the book, and I love it, is more people around the country are getting the chance to just understand, remember what it was like to be a teenager. You were wiser than your parents realized. They worry about you. This is the cycle of life. So just take a deep breath.
Good advice. The book is a great travel guide through teenage life and is a brilliant help to anyone in their teenage years. The Teenager's Book of Life is out now. Tony Griffin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming
so
on
much,
the show.
Jen, you've been so supportive and I really appreciate it because it's making a big difference to some people. And I just want to thank you for your support.
Anytime, Tony. You're a legend and we love you for it. Thank you, Tony. What do you think about that? And how do you feel living? Have you got a new teenager in the house and how's it all going? What do you think about Tony's advice to just take a breath? And we project our own negative feelings about the teenage years onto said teenager and that probably makes them shut down a little bit. It's a great book. It's a really interesting read. I just want to thank Tony for coming on the show again. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.